This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, September 7th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. We're going to start with probably the biggest game for the Baltimore Orioles in, what, the last 15 years or so? The Orioles, a game behind the Yankees. The Yankees going down to what used to be friendly Camden Yards for four games. If you've ever watched those Yankee-Oriole games, it seems like it's Yankee Stadium South. But yesterday, Orioles fans showed up in droves. Orioles took a 4-0 lead in the first on a Matt Wieters home run. Orioles a game behind the Yankees before last night. The Yankees, because they're the Yankees, come back with 5 in the 8th to tie up the game at 6, but Baltimore, the new Baltimore Orioles, the Buck Showalter, if you will, Baltimore Orioles, score 4 in the bottom of the 8th, beat the Yankees 10-6. Tie the Yankees for first place in the American League East. And again, this is not the Baltimore Orioles of yesteryear, who even when they made a run for 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 games, by the time July and August came around, were just going the wrong way. These Orioles are a very good team with a very good manager. They've got some really, really good baseball players. And I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're a playoff team. I don't know that they can beat the Yankees, but certainly yesterday they showed that they could certainly play with, take a punch in the nose from the Yankees in the top of the 8th, then come back and win the game. Orioles 10, Yankees 6. The Orioles now 77-60, obviously the Yankees 77-60 as well. The Orioles hit 6 home runs yesterday. Again, they were just too tough. They really showed a lot of guts, I thought. Adam Jones with his 28th. Wieters with that early three-run homer with his 19th. Mark Reynolds, who's becoming, frankly, a Yankee killer. He now has 7 home runs in 7 games. He had 4 last weekend against the Yankees. He had 1 last night, his 20th of the year. Davis with his 24th. Even Andino gets into the act with his 6th of the year. The Yankees, the home run hitting Yankees until the last month or so with no home runs. Orioles 10, Yankees 6. O'Day gets the win in relief. He's now 7-1. He only pitched a third of an inning, but the timing was good for him. Hamill, who got hit in the elbow during that game, pitched really well for the Orioles. 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, only 1 run earned. 2 walks and 6 strikeouts. He's really going to boost them. They did eventually take him out after 5. He got hit in the elbow, but he came back out and pitched again. Phelps couldn't do it for the Yankees. 4 innings pitched, 6 hits, 5 runs, all earned. Robertson takes the loss in relief. He's 1-6. He gave up that home run to Adam Jones. Didn't get anybody out. Gave up 3 hits, 3 runs, all earned. Robertson's done a pretty good job, but not yesterday. So give Baltimore a ton of credit. There's still 3 more games to go this weekend. Tonight it's Hughes against Chen, and frankly, at Baltimore, you have to give the advantage to the Orioles and Chen. Hughes has been up and down, 13-12 this year. Chen 12-8. He's been a very good pitcher. I thought he pitched well against the Yankees last time he pitched against the Yankees. Yesterday, Jeter 1-for-5, hitting .318. Cano 2-for-5, hitting .302. But the rest of the Yankees, you know, Swisher down to .260, A-Rod at .270. The Yankees just haven't. Granderson 2-for-4 yesterday, but he's hitting .230. Russell Martin 1-for-3 is finally over the Mendoza line. Ibanez slumping at .228. Andrew Jones fell off a cliff at .203. These guys have all played, and by that I mean Ibanez, Andrew Jones, all the guys you thought were going to essentially be DHs, have played too much in the field, and now I think it's starting to wear on both of them, specifically Ibanez and Andrew Jones. For the Orioles, what can you say? Nick Markakis, an excellent baseball player, 1-for-5, batting 300. You know, they're a very tough team. Jones, 289 with some incredible power numbers, 28, 71 RBIs. Weider's coming into his own, 2-for-4 with 3 RBIs yesterday, including the home run. Reynolds, 2-for-3 with 3 RBIs yesterday, including the home run. Davis, 1-for-4 with an RBI yesterday, including the home run. Andino, 1-for-4 yesterday with an RBI, including the home run again. This was a much bigger game, obviously, for the Orioles than the Yankees, but the message here is the Orioles aren't going to fold like the Orioles of yesterday. Now, there are 3 more games over the weekend. We'll see what happens. I really think both of these teams and, frankly, Tampa Bay can make a run at the playoffs. But this year, for the first year, as you know, 2 wild card teams, it is so much more important to win your division this year than it was last year or the years before, because finally they've made winning a division much more important than just making the playoffs. Last year, if you made the wild card, nobody would care. You'd be setting up your pitching for the playoffs. If the choice was to win the division or win the wild card, you'd pick win the wild card. Well, baseball totally flipped that this year. If your choice is to win the division or win the wild card, you got to win the division, because otherwise you're going to be in that one-game playoff, which you don't want to be in. Obviously, you want to avoid that at all costs. Only one other game in the American League yesterday, the Rangers, being the Rangers, beat the Royals 5-4 in 10 innings. And again, that's no knock on the Royals. They're a young team. They're playing a little better, but they're still 61-76. The Rangers, twice in a row to the World Series, even though they lost, both just have that ability to win. Rangers 82-55. The Royals 61-76. They win the game in the top of the 10th on an Ian Kinsler triple, then driven in by Michael Young to give them the 5-4 lead. Joe Nathan comes in for his 30th save. Josh Hamilton and Beltre go back-to-back for Texas. Hamilton's 39th of the year. Beltre's 30th of the year. Again, Texas has an unbelievable lineup. Texas 5, Kansas City 4. Adams gets the win in relief. Nathan again with his 30th save. Holland takes the loss. He's now 6-4. Adams 4-1 on the season. Texas 5, Royals 4. Michael Young with 2 hits, hitting .269, including the game winner. Beltre with 2 hits, hitting .320, including his home run. Hamilton only hitting .291, but with that big home run. Give the Rangers credit, they're well on their way to another division crown, another playoff berth, another chance to make it to the World Series. Those were your 2 games in the American League. We'll do the National League as well. You know, and just a bizarre game. If you saw the highlights of this game, I mean, really, just, you don't really see this too often. The Braves beat the Rockies 1-0, but in the bottom of the second, Juan Francisco is on third. Chacin pitching for the for Colorado. Joaquin Rosario, the catcher, throws the ball back to Chacin. A good throw, I mean, right to him. And somehow Chacin missed it. Francisco, who had already run back to third, the ball was thrown by Chacin and was heading out towards second. So Francisco takes off from home. Chacin has to run and catch it. Nobody backing him up. You know, a little league mistake, frankly, but major leaguers really don't do it that much, back up the pitcher on a throwback from the catcher. Chacin gets the ball, frankly, closer to second than the pitcher's mound. Francisco beats the throw. Atlanta takes the lead 1-0 in the bottom of the second, and believe it or not, that's the only scoring in the game. Tim Hudson gets the win, 7 innings pitched, no runs. He's 14-5. Chacin takes the loss. He's 2-5. Kimbrel gets a save, his 34th of the year. But that was the only run of the game, and the Braves beat the Rockies 2 days in a row, 1-0, both on unearned runs. Just incredible stuff. Atlanta obviously fighting for a wild card spot and maybe for a division win over the red hot Nationals. Braves now 78-60, Colorado 56-80. The only highlight for Colorado is Blackman, the left fielder, goes 4-for-4. But really, that was about it. Just unbelievable that that would decide a Major League Baseball game. But, you know, baseball is a strange game. I don't think I've ever seen that before. pitcher just misses a ball that's thrown right to him with a man on third. The guy on third scores, and that's the only run of the game. Braves won. Rockies nothing. A couple of other games. Nationals, best record in baseball, 85-52. Hammer the Cubs, 9-2. And again, if you saw this game or saw the highlights, the Cubs look, you know, they're pretty much done, obviously. They've been terrible all year. Theo Epstein has a big job over there, Cubs 51-86. But there was some back and forth between coaches. They threw at Bryce Harper. Benches cleared a couple of times. Davey Johnson was correct after the game. Manager Davey Johnson of the Nationals, when he said, look, we're not going to start anything. We're in a pennant race. But we're not going to back down either. So the Nationals did the right thing. They didn't start anything. They didn't back down. Most importantly for them, they won the game 9-2. Zimmerman gets the win. He's 10-8. Germano takes the loss. He's 2-6. Harper, 2-5, has his average up to 260. Zimmerman, 2-4 with 3 RBIs, average up to 284. Adam LaRoche hits his 29th of the year. Suzuki hits his 3rd of the year. Nationals, 9. Cubs, 2. Anthony Rizzo, the one bright spot for Chicago, 3-4 with a home run. He's hitting 298. That was his 12th home run of the year. Rizzo looks like a very good young player for the Cubs right now. He's lost in Chicago. The other game, not important, but the Marlins beat the Brewers 6-2. Johnson gets the win. He's 8-11, a disaster season for Josh Johnson. Estrada takes the loss. He's 2-6. Johnson, 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts, 8-11 with a 3.81 ERA, not what you expected out of him. Estrada, 5 innings pitched, 7 hits, 4 runs, all earned, no walks, 5 strikeouts. Marlins going nowhere, 61-77. Brewers, 3 games under 500, hoping for a miracle, but if they're going to lose to the Marlins, frankly, obviously, that miracle is simply not going to happen. Quickly to the standings. American League, Baltimore and the Yankees tied for the lead and also tied for one of the wild card spots, of course. Tampa Bay, 75-62, 2 games out of the AL East League, 2 games out of the wild card. Boston and Toronto off the boards. The White Sox, 74-62, leading Detroit by a game. Detroit 73-63, 3.5 out of a wild card, 1 out of the AL Central, looking obviously to get in via the AL Central win. You don't want to be the wild card. You want to win your division this year. Kansas City, Cleveland, and Minnesota have all fallen way back now. Texas, 82-55, best record in the American League, lead Oakland by 5.5. Oakland just a half game now out of a wild card spot. The Angels, 74-63, 8 games behind Texas in the West, 3 games out of a wild card spot. Seattle, 67-51, 10 games out of the wild card. They're not going to, frankly, get there. So right now, it's Baltimore and the Yankees. One's a wild card, one's a division leader. White Sox and Texas, a division leader, and then the Oakland A's, a wild card team. But still, Detroit in the mix, the Angels in the mix, and of course, Tampa Bay in the mix. In the National League, Washington, again, the big news with Washington, Strasburg pitching tonight, supposedly his next to last start for the season. They're going to shut him down. Poorly played by Washington. We won't beat a dead horse, but Washington 85-52, 7.5 games over Atlanta. Atlanta has one of the wild card spots now at 78-60. Philly clinging to a miracle, 8 games out of a wild card. The Mets 9 games out of a wild card, but not realistic for either team. Still 5-6 games respectively, under 500. Miami out of it. Cincinnati, 83-55, playing 600 baseball. They've been unbelievable, even without Joey Votto. St. Louis 8.5 behind Cincinnati, but do have one of the wild card spots. Pittsburgh trying to climb back in, 10 out behind Cincinnati in the Central, but only a game and a half out of the wild card. Milwaukee, 3 games under .500, but 7 out of a wild card. Chicago and Houston well out of it. In the West, San Francisco still leading the Dodgers by 4.5, 5 in the loss column. The Dodgers, 4.5 behind the Giants, a game and a half out of a wild card. Arizona, 2 games under .500, 6.5 out of the wild card. San Diego and Colorado, not around for the end of the season from a playoff perspective. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion. Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on sportstalknetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. One more baseball note. Brandon McCarthy, Oakland A's pitcher, you probably saw him get hit in the head with a line drive the other day. He has a skull fracture and a brain contusion. He had to have 2 hours of surgery. Now, you often hear the conversation, and certainly if you follow this show or Rick Wolf's show on WFAN, where I've been a guest many times, you know we talk about aluminum versus wood, and we always say you can still get hit in the head with a wooden bat. You just have a much better chance to react. A lot of these pitches, including McCarthy, as you see, they don't really follow through. You're actually not taught to follow through and put your glove up in front of your face as pitchers were taught 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's more about getting more torque with your body. So McCarthy gets hit in the skull, has a skull fracture, has a brain contusion, has 2 hours of surgery, but apparently is out of danger and is on his way to recovery, although nobody knows how long that recovery will be. But again, if they had aluminum bats in the major leagues, I think you'd have dead pitchers, my personal opinion, because the ball just jumps off those bats quicker. But hopefully McCarthy will have a perfect recovery. Whether he can pitch again this year or not remains to be seen. I would think that's a long shot with a skull fracture. Quickly now, just a few other things. The U.S. Open, the final fours are set today. Number one, Azarenka plays Sharapova. Serena Williams against Sara Errani of Italy. That's your final four. Finals tomorrow. The men, the final four is set. Novak Djokovic will play David Ferrer, and Thomas Berdych will play Andy Murray. Those two are tomorrow, with the finals on Sunday. Federer obviously beaten, Juan Martin Del Potro beaten by Djokovic. Del Potro, of course, beat Andy Roddick, who has now retired. Ferrer beat Tipsarevic of Serbia in a five-setter tiebreak in the fifth set. Ferrer was down 4-1 in that fifth set, but came all the way back to win. So those are your U.S. Open semifinals. Again, the women today and the men tomorrow. Just a minute or two on college football, then we'll get to the NFL. But yesterday, Big East opener, Cincinnati 34, Pittsburgh 10. Going to be a long year for Pittsburgh. They changed coaches. They lost to Youngstown State last week. They get hammered by Cincinnati yesterday. Munchie Legault, can't make up these names, 117 yards yesterday. Win with two TD runs for Cincinnati. Cincinnati 34, Pittsburgh 10. But here's the complaint about college football, at least my complaint. You look at the top five, Alabama jumped USC, and I think correctly, Alabama beat Michigan. You know, USC won 69-10. But Alabama, USC, LSU, Oregon, Oklahoma, those are your top five. Now, when you look at who they're playing and the point spreads, Alabama, 39-point favorite over Western Kentucky, and Nick Saban with a straight face, chastised reporters for essentially saying this isn't a game. Well, you know, frankly, this isn't a game. USC goes to the Meadowlands, comes cross-country to play Syracuse at the Meadowlands. They're a 26-point favorite, USC number two. LSU number three, playing Washington at home at LSU, 24-point favorite. You know, Oregon, ranked number four, AP, 35-point favorite over Fresno State. And Oklahoma against Florida A&M, you can't, at home, at Oklahoma, you can't even find a point spread. You know, it's probably in the 40, 50, 60 range. Florida State, number six. They lost Brandon Jenkins, their top defensive end for the season. That's a huge blow. They're playing Savannah State this week. Savannah State lost 84-0 to Oklahoma State last week. And Savannah State is a 70.5 point underdog. I think that's the highest point spread ever. So the problem with college football is you only focus on certain games. Will you really focus on any of those top six games? No. Georgia goes on the road, number seven Georgia at Missouri. That's a game, but you got to go to the number seven team in the country, frankly, to find a game. So to me, that's always the problem with college football. You know, they really play, a lot of these top teams really play one or two or three games all year that are really meaningful slash close games. And that dictates their entire season. Want to get to the NFL now. Art Modell, minority owner of the Ravens, the owner for decades of the Cleveland Browns, who actually moved the Cleveland Browns to Baltimore in 1996. So if you are a Cleveland fan or live in Cleveland, you hate Art Modell. But he's given a lot of credit for being one of those influential guys from the 60s, was a key figure in negotiating TV contracts, was one of the key guys in bringing Monday Night Football to life. Jim Brown, none other than the great Jim Brown, said he should be in the Hall of Fame, that he was a visionary. Brown, of course, the great Cleveland Brown player, considered by many to be the greatest football player of all time. Art Modell passing away. You also know, of course, by now, Dallas beat the Giants 24-17. And, you know, not shocking. I was on the fence. I liked the Giants a little bit because Ratliff wasn't playing. Neither team was really shining. You know, first game, whatever. But Tony Romo made the plays, and then Dallas made those points hold up. They didn't give it back. The Giants have a lot of issues, a lot of injuries in their secondary. Prince Amukamara, who was hurt last year and was hurt this year, supposed to come back for week two with that high ankle sprain, but he's not coming back for week two. So the Giants have their issues, but I think it's important to remember the Giants were 9-7 last year. Yeah, they got on a roll. Yeah, they played great through the playoffs. But Dallas, the Giants, the Eagles, they're all pretty close. I mean, it could be a flip a coin division. But Dallas to win on the road maybe shows it's the new Dallas Cowboys, Dallas 24, Giants 17. Quickly through the schedule, I'll give you one game a week. I mean, I like a few games, but the game I really like is the Patriots laying 5.5 at the Titans. Patriots always come out smoking offensively. Don't think there's going to be any rust there. Belichick has an excellent record against the Titans. The game is in Tennessee. That's why it's only 5.5. I think it would be like 12 if they were playing in New England. But that's the game. If I had to pick one game, I would pick the Patriots laying 5.5 over the Titans. Obviously, there are some huge games this weekend. Broncos and Peyton Manning make their debut at home against the Steelers. That's a fascinating game. The Packers, although they have a brutal early schedule, they have those first two games at home. They play the 49ers. I picked the 49ers to win the Super Bowl. They pick the 49ers. They play the 49ers at home on Sunday. And then, believe it or not, Thursday night, this is obviously for the NFL Network, the Bears go to Green Bay to play the Packers. So the Packers are home, yes, but they play the 49ers and the Bears, two probable playoff teams. Those are their first two games, and again, it strikes me as lunacy to play Sunday, Thursday, but this is how the NFL wants it. Everybody in New York will be watching the Bills at the Jets. Nobody's calling it the Tim Tebow era, depending on who you listen to. But the Bills are pretty good. The Jets are fortunate to be home. The Jets have a good defense. The Jets don't have a very good offense. Everybody thinks they're just going to turn the switch and score TDs. You know what happened to the Jets. They lost all four of their preseason games. Their frontline offense, Sanchez, Tebow, none of them led their offense to a touchdown. Only McElroy, the third-string quarterback, you know, who was great at Alabama, he was the only guy to score a touchdown or lead the Jet offense to a touchdown. Very interesting. The Bills are a pretty good team. I certainly think the Bills can win that game. Few other interesting games. Andrew Luck opens up at Chicago. Not good for him. Eagles go out to Cleveland. The Browns aren't that good. We'll see if Michael Vick can stay healthy. Panthers at the Buccaneers. And then Monday night doubleheader, Bengals at the Ravens. Now, the Bengals played the Ravens tough last year. You know, to me, that's the best division in football. Ravens, Steelers, Bengals. Bengals on the road, however, down in Baltimore. And the Chargers at the Raiders, that's your Monday night doubleheader. That's a pretty good doubleheader. But the best games, I think, obviously, are 49ers at Packers, Steelers at Broncos. Cowboys obviously already beat the Giants. I think those are the three best games. Then you come right back next Thursday with the Bears at the Packers. Adrian Peterson of the Vikings with that surgically repaired knee said he's good to go this Sunday against Jacksonville. So I'll have to keep an eye on Peterson to see how he's doing, but you know, Peterson, one of the best running backs when healthy in the NFL. Your TV sports tonight, Major League Baseball Network, Dodgers at Giants, obviously a huge series. Dodgers trying to catch the Giants. I thought after that trade the Dodgers would meld together and be able to catch and pass the Giants, but so far that hasn't happened. Or Arizona at San Diego. Not sure why MLB isn't showing Strasburg in his next-to-last start, but right now those are the games, obviously, on the MLB Network. Those are both 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock on the coast, Dodgers at Giants, Arizona at San Diego. Presumably, from 7 to 10 Eastern, they'll have some live look-ins with the Strasburg game to see how he's doing, but I'm surprised they're not showing that game. Tennis, the U.S. Open, starts today nationally, CBS, 12:30 Eastern, and obviously the big draw is the women's semifinals, the final four, if you will, for the women. That starts today, CBS nationally, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. And if you're looking for a college football game, there's one on ESPN2 tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, Utah at Utah State. That's your college football game on national TV tonight. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.